Welcome to Finish Well Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, welcome to Finish Well Radio. I'm your host, Meredith Curtis, and I'm so excited to have you with us today. We are going to talk about conflict. Every marriage has conflict. Every set of siblings engages in conflict. In fact, conflict is a fact of life. You won't be able to remove conflict from your home, but you can change how conflict is handled. If your home is full of yelling and screaming and saying things you regret and making ultimatums, please, please, please stay tuned. I have some truths that will make a big difference in the peace and the stability of your home and your relationships. The Bible says that an unfriendly man pursues selfish ends and against all sound judgment starts quarrels. So when we start with the whole idea of conflict, what is at the root of conflict? I'm so sorry to tell you that it's our selfishness. It's because we want what we want. We want people to see things our way. And even though we belong to Jesus and God has really changed us, sometimes we can be in the flesh. And so if we're always abiding in Jesus, always surrender to Jesus, we would have no conflict, right? Well, not exactly, because the Bible says we see through a glass dimly. So even though we are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, some things aren't clear to us. And so I might see something and have one perspective, and you might see something and have another perspective. And one of us is wrong, or both of us are wrong, and there's a whole third thing. But because we live in a fallen world, because we still battle the flesh, it's just inevitable that we'll see things differently. But there's a way to have a difference of opinion. There's a way to have different ideas about how things should be handled that works really well. And that's what we're going to talk about. So the first thing I said is that we have to look at ourselves and realize if we have a quarrel with someone, there's always reasons. It takes two to quarrel. So nothing is ever one person's fault 100%, because even if someone is quarreling with you, you don't have to quarrel with them. So I just want to briefly touch on the first thing we saw is from Proverbs, that it says selfishness can cause us to quarrel. And then in James 4:3, it says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your selfish pleasures. You see, we experience conflict because we struggle to resist our flesh. We struggle against selfishness, and we struggle against greed in our hearts. Our agenda becomes more important than other people's agenda. And so whenever conflict happens, we always know that the flesh is somehow involved. And our only hope to completely avoid conflict is to surrender to Jesus and to always abide in him. But just because we do that doesn't mean other people will do that. But I do want you to remember that it does take two to quarrel. And one of the most important things, a young man or young woman, a parent, a mom, a dad, an aunt or uncle, any person on this planet has to learn in the very beginning is to know when to drop it. One of the most important things about fighting fair is to know when something is worth fighting about. A lot of times someone will say something and you might respond and say, well, I see it this way. And then the other person responds with something that in essence says, you're really stupid or you're really a jerk. How can you think that way? And then right then our pride is pricked and pride wells up in us and we just have to say something. We have to defend ourselves. We have to show the other person why they're wrong. Okay, I'm going to give you some examples. So say one of my children comes home and they share something that a professor has said, and I know that what the professor has said completely contradicts the Bible. If I am really angry and prideful and just say, oh my goodness, no, 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 blah, 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 and I just share all the things that are true, but I'm sharing them out of pride and I'm sharing them out of anger, then what will happen is automatically my child will resist me. Even though they may completely agree with me because of the way I'm sharing it and because I'm coming at them and attacking them, they will resist. And that is true of any person. And if you're listening today, just know that in your heart. Like, your purpose in sharing your opinion, hopefully, is because you believe it's from the Lord and it will benefit the other person. So if you share anything in a way that is prideful or angry, or you say mean words, you have lost the other person's ear and they will be defensive, even if they agree with you. And that's something that we need to get down in our spirits, because so often we get in an argument for the sake of defending our position and thinking somehow that we're going to bully people into seeing things our way. And that is so not true. You cannot bully someone into seeing things your way. They will, even if on the outside they capitulate, on the inside they may be standing up on the outside, but they're sitting down on the inside. It's that kind of situation. So, and I know that's really hard, because I grew up in a home where we fought a lot. We shared our opinions really strongly. And I remember one day I just really sensed the Lord say to me, do you want to win this argument, or do you want to win this person's heart? Because I was sharing something that was true. It was biblical. It was from the Word of God. And I was trying to help this person. But in the way I was doing it, I was so angry that they would not see things my way. And it was really more about me than about the Word of God or the Lord. I think we have to come to that place where we admit that we struggle with selfishness. We struggle with wanting our own way. We struggle with wanting things that other people have. And we need to lay those down, and we need to love the other person and care more about the other person than having them agree with us. We want people to agree with God. One of the things that I've learned as a pastor's wife is it's more important for me, when I'm talking to someone, to push them to the Lord, to push them to the Word of God, than for me to push them to my way of thinking. Because my way of thinking, oh, I hate to say this, but my way of thinking in some situations may be wrong. And that's hard for me, because I think, oh, I'm right. You know, I struggle with that pride just as much as anyone else does. One of the first things to prevent quarreling, to make quarreling peaceful, is to know when to drop it. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but one who is patient calms a quarrel. In Proverbs 17:14, it says, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Proverbs 23 says, it is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Ouch. That one really got me. It is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. So I want you to think about this. Think about some conflicts that you've had maybe in the past week, and how did they escalate? And was there a point in that conflict when you could have stopped that conversation from escalating into a quarrel? Could you have dropped the matter? Or were you being like the fool in Proverbs, and you were just so quick to quarrel, so quick to share your opinion, so quick to be right, so quick to want the other person to do what you wanted? And wives, we can do that with our husbands. We can do that with our children. Children, we can do that with our parents. We can do that with each other. Teenagers, we can fight with our parents, other teens, our siblings, because we feel in our heart like we are right and our agenda is the most important. And so when something happens, we defend our position. Or maybe you're a teenager and your sibling went into your room and they started playing with your things. One of the first ways you can react is you walk in and, oh my goodness, you are angry because they're not allowed in your room. So you have a choice right now in how you react to the conflict, because you need to deal with that because your sibling did something wrong. So are you going to start yelling and say, what are you doing in my room? Get out! Blah, 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 blah. And you know, you start screaming. Or are you going to say, hey, Butch, I love you, but you know that you're not allowed in my room. And so I'm going to need to go tell Mom or Dad, but I want to give you the opportunity first to put away my things that you're playing with and to apologize to me and to leave. Now, by keeping your voice calm, and by keeping your voice calm, I don't mean going, I am, you know, and you're like holding back the anger. But right away, this is what I've learned to do. Right away in a situation when I get angry, I immediately pray a silent prayer. Lord, please help me right now. Fill me with your compassion so that I do not blow up. For man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of God. And so one of the things that we have to start with is, what is really important to us? See, this is what happens. We love our mom. We love our children. We love our sisters and brothers. And we really, in our heart of hearts, want what's best for them. We really do. But when something happens and we get angry, it just becomes all about us. And we want to hurt them, and we want to crush them, and we want to destroy them. And if you step back later, so often when you are angry, you later look back and you say, why on earth did I say those things? That was so cruel. That was so mean. I don't really feel that way. But see, the truth is, in the moment you did, because in the moment, everything became about you and getting your way and crushing anyone who was in it. So one of the things that has to happen is each person in a family has to choose. I am not going to let my life be all about me, even when people hurt my feelings, even when people touch my stuff, even when people say something I disagree with. It is not going to all be about me. And that takes, honestly, that takes a lot of prayer. When people struggle a lot with fighting and arguing in a family, I'll say, you know what, if I were you, I would take 2 days and I would fast and I would pray together. And every day I would pray together as a family. When you're not angry, Lord, help us to be kind to one another and loving to one another, and help us to, even in our anger, to not sin. That can be hard, because sometimes we just fall into old habits without even knowing it. It's just, we just go back into the same routine because that's what we've always done. So I just want to tell you, if you are angry and you yell a lot, you really need Jesus to help you. I wouldn't try to change this on my own. Now, some of you have so much self-control that you say, I can do this on my own, but I know I don't. I know that God has to really help me to be kind and loving and forgiving. Another thing that we can do when we're really angry is we can give ultimatums. I have a friend that's getting married, and every time her future mother-in-law doesn't like something, she says, well, I'm not coming to the wedding then. And she just stomps around, you know. And I'm thinking, wow, my response would be, well, we'll miss you. Okay, because what on earth is that accomplishing? Basically, it's so immature, because it's like a little child saying, if I don't get my way, I'm going to take my toys and I'm going to go home. And a lot of times in the way we interact when we're arguing and disagreeing, we interact in a way that is so childish, but we don't feel like it's childish, because anger will stir up that fight or flight in us, and our heart is beating fast and everything, and we just have to say it. We have to do it. And so I'm going to tell you one of the things the Lord taught me, and that's that a gentle answer turns away wrath. That's from Proverbs 15:1. I don't think it's in your notes, but one of the things that helped me was to speak gently to someone who is angry. But then I learned, when I speak gently, it also calms my own heart down. And that really set me free, because I would just purpose, okay, right now I'm going to calm myself down. And so I would say something gentle. And I know that sounds crazy, but the word of God always works. Anyway, that's been like a real breakthrough in my own life, because not only does a gentle answer calm my husband's anger down or my children's anger down, but it calms my own anger down. So, and a lot of times we forget God can always help us. We don't have to go into our bedroom, kneel down by our bed and say, Lord, Lord, go into an hour of prayer. But in the moment, the heat of the moment, Lord, I am losing it. Would you please help me? He will help you. That's one of the things I noticed for my own personal life as I was getting rid of anger and learning to let Jesus love people through me in the midst of times when I wanted to lose my temper, was that first what happened was that right after I was really angry, the time between my anger and my repentance got shorter and shorter and shorter. It used to take me days. Like I would feel like I was right and I would be angry at the other person, but it got shorter and shorter too. As soon as I was finished being angry, almost immediately I would turn to the person and say, I am so sorry. Would you please forgive me? I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have been angry. And then that continued until the time that I started to cry out to the Lord before I got angry or in the midst of it. I could tell, wow, this is going south. I'm not doing good here. I'm not responding well. And I could ask the Lord to help me earlier. So the Lord has to be involved in this and with every person. But if just one person decides in a household, I'm going to change. So you may listen to me and you may say, you should be in my house. First, my mom and dad start yelling. Then I start yelling. Then some of my siblings start yelling. And pretty soon we all say things we regret. And the truth is, words hurt. And we carry those hurts around for a really long time. So I would say to you, I don't want to come to your house because that would make me really nervous. I don't like to be around a lot of anger. And, you know, I grew up that way and I really don't like it. And God has really helped me a lot to walk away from that. But God can come into your house in the middle of that anger and he can diffuse it. You may be a child and maybe your parents yell a lot, but if you can start this and you can say, okay, Lord, I want to change. I don't want to respond anymore and be cruel and hurtful. Then just one person can make a difference, because pretty soon people say, wow, she's not engaging in this conflict. And then they want to know, how are you doing this? And it really can spread. It doesn't feel like it. It feels like, you know, I'm just going to get stomped on. But it really is true, because I don't know an angry person who wants to be an angry person. I really don't. Most people who struggle with anger, they wish they weren't like that. And so, especially if they're a Christian, they really want God to change them. So the first thing is we know when to drop it. And the second thing is what I just talked about when I said that we need to have the Lord help us to not let the anger escalate. It's kind of tied into knowing when to drop it, but it's also just getting help. Like, you need help. If you have anger and you're in the midst of a conflict and it's going south, you need help. So cry out to God. You don't have to do it on, Jesus, help me. You can do it under your breath, like, Lord, help me so much. I am really going to lose it right now and I need your help. And another thing I just want to tell you, it is always okay to walk away. And you can say, I really love you and I want to have this conversation. Can we have this conversation in an hour? Because I can feel myself getting angry and I feel like this conversation is going to be negative. You can even respectfully say it to your mom and dad. Mom, dad, I love you and I hear what you're saying. Right now I'm struggling with my emotions and I feel like I'm going to say something I'm going to regret, or that's disrespectful or rude. So could you give me an hour before we finish this conversation? A lot of times that can help to calm things down so that you can discuss things when your emotions aren't running high. And you know how you feel when you're angry and that you have those knots in your stomach and your heart is pounding. It can help diffuse that. So the next thing is disagree with kindness and respect. You know, you really can disagree with someone and be kind. And I remember when I was It was back in the 80s, and Pat Robertson was running for president. I remember that. So it must have been like 1988. And Bush eventually got the nomination, and he became president for 4 years. But a lot of people were running, and one of them was Pat Robertson. And I remember watching the debates, and all of the Republican candidates were arguing against each other, and Pat Robertson refused to say anything negative about anyone. And I was so impressed by that. Now, of course, he didn't win the nomination. He has the 700 Club, and he shares news from a Christian perspective. I really have always liked him. But I was so impressed by that because I thought, wow, most politicians will put other people down to make himself look good. But he refused to do that. He just shared why he thought he would be a great president, and he refused to put other people down. And so that has always stood with me, and I want to encourage you to be like that. When you are disagreeing with someone and you are arguing with them, you are fighting with them, although not the way a normal fight would look, can you make a decision to not put the other person down, to listen to them respectfully, and even active listening where you say, okay, hold on, let me understand. Is this what you're saying? And even in your arguing, you can say, now, I would like to understand your position. Are you willing to understand mine? So if we can just start there and say, would you be willing to understand my position? And I would like to understand yours. Parents, when you do this with your teenager, it really builds a lot of love between the two of you, because you really, when kids are teenagers, don't want to be saying, because I said so. You really want to be explaining that you're doing things for their good and for their best. And if you can say, when they're saying, well, this is what I want, and you're saying, absolutely not, it really goes a long way to try to understand their heart. Because sometimes something can be done, and that's what we're going to talk about next, in a win-win situation. But say your child is, you know, they want the car, they want to use the car whenever they want, they don't want to tell you where they're going, and they're arguing with you, you treat me like a child, you don't treat me like an adult, and you're thinking in your mind, well, I pay all the bills, I have to remind you to do your chores, you always bring your phone with you when you drive, even though I've warned you about texting and driving, and I want to know where you are because I like knowing where you are so that, because even though it's not right, I worry. I'm a parent. I worry until you're safe in bed at night. And so all of those things, if you refuse to tell your child those things, now you can say those in a really mean way to make them feel demeaned, but you could say, I agree that you are becoming more and more mature, but there's still some things that you need to grow in. And I get concerned when you're out there by yourself. And also parents, they just worry, and they're not able to sleep soundly if they don't know where you are and until you come home at night. And so those are some things that you can explain to your child. But what your child is basically saying is, I want more freedom. And there are ways that you can set things up that as they show more responsibility, they can get more freedom. Not necessarily with a car. Maybe you're not willing to do that, but with other things. And so how about teenagers? You're fighting with your sibling and they're saying, you never do this, you never do that, and blah, and they're just attacking you. And then if you really listen to what they're saying and you ask them questions and you draw them out, you may find they're just missing you and they want to spend time with you. I've seen that happen time and time again as teenagers get busier and busier as they're getting ready to go to college, and then they go to college. The siblings are saying, I miss my big brother, I miss my big sister. But that's not what they're saying. They're not coming to you and saying, oh, I miss you. They're being rude and mean and they're taking your stuff and they're just getting attention from you in a very negative way. But if you can hear underneath, why are people saying what they're saying? Why are people doing what they're doing? If you can become someone who understands the heart of the people closest to you, you will have a lot healthier relationships. And a lot of times there's alternatives that are win-win that aren't necessarily the non-negotiables. Like, you're basically saying, no, you can't come in and play with my stuff, younger brother Fred, but maybe we could do this together or something like that. So listen to the heart behind what people are saying. Another thing is disagree without becoming enemies. Come with humility, asking questions. A lot of times, I'm sure that you've experienced this, a lot of arguments come from misunderstandings, and someone thinks that something happened and they go and they just attack. I can't believe you said blah, blah, blah. I can't believe you said blah, blah, blah. I remember one time a young woman was in a conversation with another person and she said something and the other young woman thought this is what she was saying. It wasn't what she meant or was saying. And she went and told a third person that this first woman was talking about her, and the first woman wasn't. And the third woman just basically said, I'm not your friend anymore. I don't want you coming over to my house, and cut off the relationship and never even coming in saying, hey, I was told you said this. Is this true? So many times conflict is the result of misunderstanding, or someone's just in a bad mood, but another person feels rejected. You really have to find out why people did and said what they did. You need to come with humility, not accusing. I have seen so many conflicts that are baseless. They're just the enemy stirring up trouble, and we just fall into his lies, and we believe lies, and we allow our relationships to go down the toilet because of it. And so we really have to come in humility. Listen, I noticed that you didn't clean the bathroom, and I'm just wondering why that happened. That's such a different way than, you didn't clean the bathroom, you're such a loser. Don't we want to know why people have done and said what they've done and said? Are we really concerned so much about that thing? Or are we just, wow, they did it one more time, I'm just going to crush them like a bug. You need to get rid of that desire to crush people like a bug. Not anyone. Not anyone. Allow God to be the one to come behind you and defend you. You don't need to defend yourself, especially that desire that wells up in us to crush people. Wow, we destroy lives when we do that. We have got to die to that. I have heard so many teenagers call their younger siblings such terrible names. So many younger siblings call their older brothers and sisters such terrible names. I have heard mothers call children and teenagers things I would never repeat, and the same with fathers. And I have to ask myself, why would you ever do that? I don't think you want to do that. I think you just allow anger to control you, and you can be free from that. So keep praying that Jesus would set you free from your anger controlling you. When you disagree, disagree with kindness and respect. Even if you don't agree with people, even if you think they're wrong, treat them with kindness and respect, especially your spouse, especially your parents, especially your children. A lot of times we'll treat everyone else so nicely, but then we're just rude to the people closest to us, and it really should be the reverse. To work through conflict successfully, keep it between the two of you. Don't go rushing off to other people to talk about your conflict. Proverbs 26:17 says, like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears is someone who rushes into a quarrel, not their own. Isn't that true? Like, if you involve other people in your conflict, that's called gossip. Just read Proverbs and you'll learn all about gossip. But gossip is a dangerous, terrible weapon. And we don't want to be gossiping about people. We want to work on reconciling with people. So the only time you bring a third person in is if the two of you can't work it out. Now, this is how we did it with our children. So something happens, our children are fighting. Mike and I would say, hey, you guys, Matthew 18, keep it just between the two of you, work it out. talk to each other kindly and work this situation out. If you can't do it and you guys have 15 minutes to try to work it out, then please come and get me and I'll help you. I'll be that third person. When you get a third person involved, it should be someone who is neutral. It should be Switzerland. It should be someone who says, we're not fighting in this war. You know, we're here to bring peace. So if you can do that, that would be awesome. Parents are the perfect people to help children work through conflict. Sometimes when parents can't work through conflict, they need to go to their pastor or something like that. But parents shouldn't really have their children help them walk through conflict because children don't really need to be put in that situation. I just want to encourage you, if you're upset with someone, don't go tell someone else. Just talk about it with the Lord and then go to that person and try to work it out. If you can't work it out, go to a neutral party, usually someone who, you know, might be an authority over you, a life group leader, a pastor, but especially if you're young, your own parents. Next is Philippians 2 says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Let your motive be for the other person's best. Now, how can I say that? Because the Bible says you will reap what you sow. I believe that. I live on that promise that I will reap what I sow. So if I sow to benefit the other person, I really believe that I'm going to reap that in my relationships, that people, when they have a quarrel with me, they are going to be interested in my interests. They're going to be concerned about my best. And you can do that, you know. You can actually humble yourself like Jesus did. And you can be kind and loving. And I'm not saying letting people walk all over you or do bad things. I'm not saying parents letting your children sin. No, 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 no. But what I'm saying is be concerned about what's in their heart. Want their best. So maybe the two of you disagree on how you should spend Saturday morning. Maybe you have free time Saturday morning. The whole family's arguing because dad wants to do this, mom wants to do this, kids want to do this. What if everyone said, hey, let's pray? And then you pray together and say, Lord Jesus, what is your perfect plan for our family this Saturday morning where everyone can be blessed and refreshed? Amen. That's a really short prayer. Like, you could get that in. And then you guys say, okay, like, let's just come up with ideas that everybody would enjoy. Not what I want, but what everyone would benefit from. I promise you, you reap what you sow in relationships, in communication. And finally, even if you blow it, though you're working hard and you blow it, two things. When you blow it in conflict, repent and ask the Lord to forgive you and receive his forgiveness. The Bible says he separates our sins as far as the east is from the west. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he will forgive us and he will purify us from all unrighteousness. So just repent and receive the forgiveness and love of the Lord. But then also forgive one another, even if they don't apologize. And how can you do that? Well, there's a parable in Matthew 18, and I encourage you to read it. And it's about a king, and a king has one of his servants is indebted to him for a lot of money. And he comes to him and he says, oh, please, oh, king, oh, please, would you forgive my debt? And the king says, I'm canceling your debt. Be blessed. Then the servant goes out, and another servant just owes him a couple of dollars, and he has him thrown in debtor's prison. People used to have to go to prison when they were in debt. So, whoa, you think to yourself, you just got forgiven this huge debt, millions of dollars, but now you're throwing this guy into prison over a couple of dollars? But see, that's what it's like when we receive forgiveness from Christ, but we don't forgive one another. And that parable has brought so much freedom in my life because I always say to myself, wow, yeah, they hurt me, But Jesus has forgiven so much more than that. Of course I can forgive them. And I canceled their debt. Whatever I wanted them to do, to apologize, to pay me back, to blah, 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 I just canceled their debt. And that has brought so much joy and freedom into my life. And so if you blow it, forgive one another. And the only way you can do that is to understand God's forgiveness. So go to Him first to be forgiven and then forgive others. And I just want to say this, that maybe what I said felt overwhelming. I would encourage you to read Matthew 18. It does talk about how to walk through conflict. It does share that parable of the unmerciful servant and the merciful king. But also, I just want to encourage you, this is something that you can keep growing in. And don't be discouraged. Like, if you have a couple of good conflicts, and you're fighting fair, and you're being kind, and you're being respectful, and you're trying to find out what's in their heart, you're dropping it if you should, and then all of a sudden you just blow it, and you lose your temper, and you think, I am never going to change. That is a lie. You will change. If you are asking Jesus to help you, you will change. And it just sometimes can take time. It was about 7 or 8 years before the Lord really brought me complete freedom in my temper, my anger. And during that time, I really appreciated the grace of God and grew so much closer to the Lord because I really wanted to change. And I kept asking the Lord to forgive me and change me. And I'm not saying I'm perfect now, because I'm not, but I know there's not really a lot of anger inside of my heart, whereas before there was always anger inside of my heart. So I know that sounds like a long time, and you think, oh, I don't think I can wait 8 years, but you can, because just think 10 years from now, do you still want to be that angry person? But don't you want to be like pressing into the Lord? He could change you in a month. I'm not saying it will take 8 years, but I'm just saying, don't give up. Pursue the Lord. Ask Him to change you. Ask Him to fill you with love and compassion for the people around you. Because when you live in a peaceful home, when you have relationships that are peaceful, because you know, if this person is angry at me, they're not going to threaten me. They're not going to lay down an ultimatum and say, if you don't do this, I'm out of your life. I won't love you anymore. Or they're not going to yell and scream at me. There is so much peace and so much freedom in those kind of relationships. They're just very, very calm and soothing, and you want to be close to those people. You can be that person to others, and the Bible says you'll reap what you sow. So as you are that person to others, others will be that person to you. So God bless you, and don't forget to fight fair.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Curtis and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.